Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It is yet another Monday, Easter Monday. We're here, Stevie P, Vinny T. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the Shitty Friday, as you like to
call it. Show Friday. That's
Shit Show Friday. We're going to be talking about upcoming game this Wednesday, how everybody else seems to have come up with points in Serie A. You know us. We're going to talk about Milan. We're going to talk about Serie A.
How much did Pioli drink on Friday?
How much did Pioli drink on Friday? I like that one. But I'm sure, Steve, that he did not eat any meat. And on that note, let's get ready to go.
Welcome to the Milan Weekly Podcast, the English voice of Milan fans all over the world, with your hosts, Vinny T and Stevie P.
Benvenuti!
Col capolavoro di Olivier Giroud.
Mignon with another magical save.
Mamma mia, Teo Hernandez! Coast to coast del numero 19.
Leao carica il mancino. Eccolo qua.
Cari amici sportivi, welcome yet to another edition of the Milan Weekly Podcast. Say where we talk everything Milan, a shitty Friday, Milan, and thank you to Fuji's and Funyun, a meatless Friday for Milan. Stevie P, Vinny T here every single Monday. It is, what do you call it, Steven, Italy? Paschetta, la Pasquetta, Monday.
Paschetta.
Pasquetta. Hope you all had a fantastic Easter, that you ate like kings, but some of us had a good Friday, and most of us Milanistas did not have a good Friday, a shitty Friday. And you know what, Steve? I'm going to blame Vinny Mancini. Vinny Mancini is saying, if we don't show up against Empoli, everybody's going to remember, and nobody's going to remember the 4-0 win against Napoli. And to the Milan Twitter world, where's that energy? Where's that energy that you trolls wanted to come out and say, we're this, we're that? But anyways, we're here to talk about that. And Steve, let's start off. A lot of people were talking about, you know, the formation and the rotation. I think, you know what, he needed to do it. Everybody wants to blame Pioli. How were your thoughts? Let's begin with that. To seeing the starting lineup, did you agree? I think I was okay with that.
No, I was not okay with that. Too much rotation with players that don't deserve and didn't deserve to get that start. I know we had to think for Wednesday, but this club has to also think that they need to make the top four. Seeing results, you know, the past couple of weeks, you know, coming off the Napoli game 4-0, momentum was in your favor. I think he could have played. I would have went with the strategy of play them for 60 minutes. And then once the 60 minutes is over, if you don't have a lead, then I guess you just start resting some people and digest that you're gonna get a draw. But the players that we started, all of them, absolutely every single one on the top three, in terms of Rebic, Origi, and who do we have on the right? I don't even remember now.
Sausage Maker.
Sausage Maker, absolutely terrible. They did not create anything. They were not dangerous.
It just felt like, you know, like Derek, Dr. Derek on Patreon goes, Empoli, in my opinion, are a well-drilled side who miss only some offensive parts to challenge in the top half of the league. Was Pioli arrogant in trying to sit five starters against a side in Empoli that have given all the top clubs fits on the pitch? He's got a point, Steve, you know, but in the end, it was the right call. It was a handball, you know, he directed it with his arm. But at what time, you know, he's saying, like, you know, sitting five starters, some people would have said before the game, oh, you need to, you know, you need to rotate and we're going in Champions League quarterfinals. But you're still sitting on that side that, hey, you want to do top four. Everybody else won this week, right? So you would have taken those chances, Steve, and to Derek's comments.
We're not deep enough, guys. We don't have a bench. We haven't had a bench the whole year. Now is not the time, in my opinion, to start gambling and change that many pieces. Rigi hasn't been good enough, and we don't have a replacement for Giroud. That, again, we haven't hit it throughout this whole season. That's on management for not addressing that. They put all their eggs in a basket with Rigi and not good enough. Rebic has not been good enough, and everybody knows I like Rebic. I think he's a workhorse. But for this season, you know, I was talking at Chicharro's with the guys that were watching the game, and you know, we're like, at least last year, the half a season that we got from Rebic was actually a productive half a season. This year, we didn't even get half a season, and whenever he's come on, he is not productive whatsoever.
Hasn't made a single impact in the game, and it's just, Steve, let me ask you, at what point did you start worrying? Did you start worrying, let's say, after the first half went through 60 minutes, 70 minutes? Because, you know, we've had these kind of games where we don't show up in the first half and then somehow, some way. And, I just picture myself. I was watching the game, and when Giroud scored, I was going crazy. And I was going crazy. I'm looking at the replay. I'm like, fuck, you know, but is there a certain point when you started getting worried that maybe the result wasn't going to come in?
There was nothing to worry about. You saw that they were not going to score. They were not creating dangerous enough chances. And when they did have chances, Empoli's keeper made a stop. So these are the types of games that I know they happen from time to time. I just didn't expect it. And we didn't do ourselves any favors by changing so many pieces to happen at home against Empoli after, you know, the big, big wave of momentum from the Napoli game. I just think the manager needs to understand what's happening, understand the situation, understand that these points were precious. And, you know, seeing Inter tie against Salernitana, you know, the direct matchup between Lazio and Juve, and Roma playing Torino, Atalanta also dropping points. This was missed opportunity to get some space in front of these other teams that are chasing us right now.
It was frustrating because, you know, you have some people on one side, well, if Juve had their 15 points back, we'd be in fifth. And I've said this in the past, and you weren't on the show, but I said, if Juve had their 15 points never revoked, they wouldn't be playing the same kind of games that we're playing right now. You know, missed opportunities. And again, I'll mention it. Where are you, Twitter people, that wanted to trash on Napoli, last game against, and Milan this and Milan that. And you know, it's okay if we lost points to Empoli because I'll take a win against Napoli. And here's my indigestion. And not directly to the MWP Patreon chat. No, they shared the article that strikers might not be available against Napoli. We have a chance. Just, guys, shh. Just don't say anything. Because now, what are we supposed to do? Twist it around that we're supposed to underestimate them, Steve? No. I don't care about no strike. This is Napoli. This is the one team that I even admitted to our friend Rafa that both of us did not picture them in the top four at the beginning of the season. Our fault. This is the Champions of Italy, guys. You know, and it's just
Whoa. We're the champions of Italy.
Sorry.
I'm not them.
Future, we're future the champions of Italy. It's just bring the same energy, guys. Just bring the same energy. It's like, yes, it's frustrating. What happened against Empoli is very frustrating. And now it is a fight for top four. Is it not, Steve? Like, yes, we have Wednesday's game. Saturday we play Bologna, and Bologna, we'll see a bit later. They're putting up those points, Bologna. Not a team to take lightly, but where do you see ourselves, Steve? How do you feel after seeing all these performances?
It's an inconsistent Milan. It's not something that you can tell which Milan's going to show up from weekend to weekend. I did not expect what I saw in Naples, and that was by far the best Milan I've seen in a long time. I don't know. I think top four is something that we're going to need to work at. It's not going to be easy, especially if we drop points. But I think, you know, qualifying for Champions League is still a possibility, and I think they need to understand that the further they go, the more along and more mature this project is going to get. So it is important as well, but sustainability in the finances that we get from the top four seems to be driving what little mercato that we can do, right? So
yeah,
it's a gamble. They need to understand that in both these two championships, we need to be very careful of what we do. And I think we made a mistake against Empoli. I don't think, however, the result goes on Wednesday. I think against Bologna, we'll see the strongest Milan side that we can field until the next leg. And then I don't know what he's going to want to rotate now. But my question marks for this Milan is, you know, CDK doesn't get minutes. And, you know, has Origi been better than CDK? No.
They've both been subpar.
Yeah, they know. You know, Adli, we don't see him anymore. You know, has Adli and, you know, has Bakayoko and been better than Adli? No. So I'm having trouble understanding why these guys like Origi and Rebic get, you know, Rebic, I can kind of get. He won the Scudetto for Pioli last year. He knows what he's going to get if he gets that.
If,
yeah. But he's not getting it. So if you're going to roll the dice with guys that, you know, need a bit of confidence and, you know, you're trying them and you want to see what you can get from them in a type of game like this. But I don't think Origi's future is at Milan. I don't think Rebic's future is at Milan. So why waste your time putting them on rolling the dice with these guys?
You know, a lot of people, whether it be online or personal chats, we like to play the blame game. Steve, is there one person to point the finger at? Because people will talk about Pioli, talk about the players. I don't know. I have a hard time pointing the finger at Pioli on this one or any other bad performances. It's an organization kind of thing. Like, is there anybody that you can point the finger at?
For this specific game, Empoli, yes, you could point the okay. finger at Pioli. There's too many changes that he made. He rolled the dice. It could have went a positive way, but you know, we're not deep enough. We're kidding ourselves if we think we're Manchester City deep or, you know.
It showed, right? It's been showing it for the last Napoli 6 months.
Deep. Even Napoli deep. We're not even as deep as Napoli, right? So as the champions of Italy and not being deep enough to do some sort of rotation, this is what we're going to get. And, you know, so you know, yes, for the Empoli game, it's Pioli. For Pioli not having the depth, that's on management, obviously. And, you know, again, they cannot be always, you know, because it's Maldini, he doesn't take the blame. Or, you know, Massara and Moncada found Kalulu. That's great. But we needed to address the striker position. We rolled the dice with Lazetic. You know, Fujis and Funyuns putting up Unleash the Lazetic. But that didn't work out. And, you know, you rolled again the dice with someone like Origi, who played very, very little at Liverpool. Everybody who thinks they knew what we were getting when we signed Origi is basically addicted to YouTube, because that's the only thing you saw from him is, you know, bits and pieces from him at Liverpool when he wasn't injured there and what he can do. So
I know. Hello, Ahmad. Good to see you, buddy. And, you know, I wanted to ask you this, and even this is the first time we had somebody from our Patreon, brand new Lab Gorilla, apologizing just in case we didn't want to answer. But, Steve, this question, like, you know, looking at remaining Serie A fixtures, in your opinion, will the Champions League run cost us a top four finish this season? And I wanted to read them out to you. Bologna, Lecce, Roma, Cremonese, Lazio, Spezia, Sampdoria, Juve, and Verona. And he already said we didn't have to answer this one, but looking at this, you know, final games, will it cost us? I'm going to answer, if we keep on showing up, no passa davanti, do da dietro, like we have these games against Napoli, and then we have these games against Empoli. I don't think, I still believe that, you know, somebody's going to screw up or we're going to come up.
It's too early. It's very easy to answer that question. It's too early, Lab Gorilla. There's a lot of soccer to be played. Look at this week. You know, we draw against Empoli. So does Inter. You know, Atalanta drop points against Bologna. Crazy weekends like this. In reality, did it really hurt us? The real match that hurt us was the Roma match. And yeah, they took another penalty. Roma got another penalty. And that was the only goal of their game. So, look, will it cost us? Only time will tell. But because we're not deep enough and we have to play, as we saw against Empoli, we have no choice to play our strongest 11 all the time, even against teams like Empoli. There's going to be fatigue near the end. I'm worried about those games, you know, the Lazio game, the Juve game. Those are the ones that I really worry about in terms of, because that's going to make that little shift. But the other ones seem to be just as hard, because we never play well when we're playing these Empolis, Lecces, and
Le Piccole,
and Veronas of the Serie A.
If you had to pick one, you know, one good player, I don't know which boat you're playing, like Nico was saying, you know, Tonali seems to have the only one that seemed to be present in this game. If you had to pick a top of the game, Steve, top of the match, who would it be?
I think Tonali was okay. I think he did what he had to do. Not much more after that.
Salamakers wasn't recognizable from people comparing him to
Rui
Costa.
This is the problem with Salchicha Maker, and I knew this was going to happen.
Tell me.
Salchicha Maker has one fantastic game, and it's happened last year. It's happened a little less this year. And then he thinks he's a player that he's not. So the worst possible thing that could happen to Salchicha Maker is scoring that goal against Naples where he channeled his inner Belgium Messi.
Ah, okay.
Because now, if you noticed him this week against Empoli, you know, not hugging his right-hand side, going into the middle of the park. His body language was very arrogant. Like, someone needs to tell Salchicha Maker he needs to know his role. And his role is do your work, work hard, and that's about it. There, you know, those goals, you know, the goals that you scored against Naples, you know, and we quickly had his local grassroots club put out a video of him scoring that goal when he was like 4 or 5. That's great. But this is Serie A. And, you know, one week you'll get away with that and then it'll never happen to you again. So, unfortunately, Salchicha Maker, he's a byproduct of his own success. As he gets and, you know, he becomes more confident, he starts and wants to try to do things that, unfortunately, talent-wise,
he wants to be two steps ahead.
Steps ahead. He just wants to try things that are not in his wheelhouse of things that he can do at a professional level.
It was just, like, you know, frustrating, especially coming off from that fantastic performance against Napoli. But it's Champions League week, and a lot of people were talking online, Steve, that it seems like the people that were playing in Europe this week, it seems that they just dozed off, and we're going to get into those results there. But not the most exciting week of Serie A, but let's go with this one. Your predictions for Wednesday, Steve. How are you feeling?
I don't do predictions. I don't like predictions.
Your feelings.
I think it's going to be a good game. I think Napoli is going to be pretty pissed off that we went into the Maradona and beat them 4-0. I want to see a competitive game. I want to see a game where two Italian teams, you know, the champions of Italy versus the, you know, the first place team right now, show the world what Serie A is all about and what kind of football we can play. I want to see the strongest Napoli. I want to have Osimhen on the pitch. I want them to have all their players because I don't want any excuses. And I want Milan to beat the Napoli. I want Milan to beat the Napoli that we've seen all season with their striker in form. If not, guys, then that's just a byproduct of, you know, injuries and stuff like that. That's not our fault. But if he can be, yeah, I'm pretty sure if he can be physically fit, he will be there guaranteed. And, you know, we're going to have to deal with that. And it will change the game a bit. But us beating Napoli at the Maradona 4-0, I think it knocked them in terms of that, hey, this Milan's not going to just roll over. So that's what I want to see.
I'm just afraid that some people went from 2-3 weeks ago of, oh, Napoli's underestimating us, we're the joke of a team, and all of a sudden we put doubts, right, in their minds. And
no, for me, these are people that play FIFA. This is not regular people that watch soccer on a daily basis.
Understandably, and I think Ancelotti came out with the best. What did he say? Una partita incerta. Like, it's uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen. Guys, on that note, Wednesday...
But you got to finish that quote. Capello said that. A 50-50 game, but Osimhen pushes that 5% towards Naples. So people understand that that's a big difference, guys. That's a different Napoli with him in the squad. And that's why I want to see Milan beat or Milan play against a Napoli that's full force. Best. Because that's the best for, you know, Champions League. It's the best for Serie A. It's both the teams that are going to be at full strength. You know, we have our strongest 11 that we can field. They have their strongest 11 that they can field. And let's see what we can do in 95 minutes to showcase Serie A.
Steve, I thought about you a little bit when we had come out with, you know, the Matteo Bonetti tweet, how the Italian teams, you know, 6 out of 7 have come out. And you had said, it's all fine and dandy. It's great, but nobody's going to remember. Only the ones that win. And then I saw the commercial. Serie A, Capello. You just mentioned him. Capello there. You have Cannavaro filming with the camera. Ready? Yes, ready. And Luca Toni comes out. Serie A is back. Now, on one side, I like the fact that at least they're trying, you know, to reach out to the masses, to the populace. But is this like a bad one? Maybe to me, may have done this maybe at the end of the season. Did you see that commercial I'm talking about with the and with their broken English? It was funny, but I just felt like, especially from your comments from that tweet a couple weeks
ago. Serie A is really needs to focus next year on a social media plan. And, you know, have a social media calendar on when they should or should not release things. I think it's just bad timing. You know, there's nothing's finished here. Nothing's back. Serie A is far from back. And just them making spots like this and commercials like this that everybody's going to see, they're not fooling anybody. They're not fooling the purest of Serie A watchers, because we know that as a league, we are at least 10 to 15 years behind.
Steve, let's be honest. Let's go with an honest percentage. How many of online people nowadays, average age is what, 18 to 30 maybe? Who could identify those three guys other than old farts like us?
Well, I'm pretty sure they can. It's just that Cannavaro
maybe.
It's not the same football. What we watched growing up and what we saw in terms of what the teams were able to do, was it run properly? Probably not. But again, the league is a byproduct of their own, you know, arrogance, narcissicity, just thinking that they're the best. And unfortunately, the Italian culture is filled with that, filled with bureaucracy. And that's why we have a league that's 15 years in the past.
And then we have official Twitter pages like Lazio posting videos of all the robberies of refereeing. It's like, oh my God, this is Serie A. Anyways, Steve, is the trumpet ready? Because you know Liban is waiting. Liban is waiting. Do we have the trumpet ready for our friend? It's a bit low, but it's there. It's there. Let's begin with the first one that's there. Salernitana Inter. This game, yes, I liked Candreva's goal. What a wonder goal!
That's
there,
not a Candreva goal, guys. Let's be honest. That is a botched cross. That
still nice to see.
Created a brand new angle in the world of geometry, and
Kazuki Honda geometry, Steve.
I don't know. I've never seen that. Was such a poorly hit ball that, you know, it's almost criminal. Now, did it happen to Inter? Did I laugh? Absolutely. But that's just painful, you know. And again,
three losses in a row. This one tie against Salernitana at home.
They didn't do anything
to win this game. See, I'm, you know, we like to poke fun, but I didn't feel like Inter deserved to win this game.
Did you watch the same game?
You felt they deserved to win?
You didn't see the miracles of Ochoa?
Yeah, that's
true. This should be Ochoa 1, Inter 1. Ochoa keeps them in the game, guys. I know we like to poke fun at Inter, but again, it's Inter's fault. They didn't bury their chances. Great. You know, great for us because we laid an egg against Empoli a day later. And Ochoa made the saves that he had to make to keep them in it. And then they got this fluke goal, a gift, an Easter egg for Easter from Candreva. And, you know, Onana didn't look too good on this. But was he expecting a shot from there?
No.
Nope. Because that was a cross.
I'll give you that one. Lecce Napoli, some people were like, oh, it's 1-1. What's going to happen here? But Napoli coming out... I don't even know if we need to talk about.
Oh, yes, it's very important because Napoli didn't look good again. Look good either, guys. The only thing that saves them is that they pick up 3 points. And I watched this game, and again, Naples doesn't come out very well in this match. Now, Lecce has been playing people very difficult this year.
Yes, they have.
And again, Napoli, without Osimhen, is a very, very different team. They struggle. They struggle. They struggle. They struggle. Because he is their release point. He is their safety blanket. He is their option B and C.
The way he holds up the ball, the way they change the game plan. I was reading this fantastic thread on, you know, one player doesn't make a difference. Yeah. Yeah, he does. And then it's like, you know, looking at Ibra in his prime. Even Osimhen, and just like, and I appreciate what you're saying, Steve. Bring me Osimhen on Wednesday. I want to be able to see this Milan team face Napoli at their best. But you're right; it didn't look good. But in the end, no surprises here. Future Scudetto winners. I'm sorry. Anything else to add on this game?
No.
Udinese Monza 2-2. This one, Monza was winning 2-1, I believe, and then Udinese tied it up in the last quarter.
94-minute Beto goal for Udine. Not much here, just Monza dropping points. And again, Udine really not looking good again.
But that's, you know,
Udine
what?
Only plays good against Milan, I think.
It's just like Udinese lost the first game of the season against us, and they went through a winning streak. I think they could claim to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Lazio is always going to be Lazio, which we're going to be talking about that. But even Udinese, Steve, you never know what kind of Udinese you're going to get playing. But this one, Monza, we're going to see. Look at it after the standings. It looks like they're going to stay in Serie A. But at least a couple of goals in this game, an exciting game on those that I wasn't able to watch live. But Udinese just plays when they play Milan. Fiorentina back to earth. They had come up with a great couple of results, but against Spezia, 1-1. They were able to watch this one, Stevie P?
No, this one I didn't catch.
Me neither. Atalanta, Bologna. And Bologna coming back, good for them. It's been several weeks now, Steve. Bologna has been putting up the points. And obviously, we got them on Saturday at 9 a.m.
That's obvious. We're going to hit Bologna on a high, that's for sure. And Bologna will be at home. I think this is a lot to do. Atalanta really didn't do themselves any favors in this game. And Bologna buried their chances. Bologna is a really strange team because they have these runs like this at like 5-year spans or 6-year spans. They become great and then they need to sell off their players or they have a coaching change and they have to start all over. So it's a bit tough to be a Bologna fan, but right now I don't think it's too tough for them to be fans. I think Mr. Saputo is very happy with that purchase, and he's been in the stands a couple of times now. So he's going to have to try to hang on to Thiago Motta, but I don't think that's going to happen because everybody's starting to notice what he's doing with Bologna.
What he's capable of doing. Cremonese with the late Cernicola goal in the last minutes. Sampdoria basically doing exactly what we predicted at the beginning of the season, going back to Serie B at the end of the year. At least, It's one thing to see 5 goals in a Serie A game, but it's another thing to see him against Sampdoria Cremonese. But Steve, West Ham versus Bournemouth is a lot more exciting than watching a Sampdoria versus Cremonese game, right?
Yeah, no, that's the marketing of EPL. But this was a pretty cool game. Sampdoria is just really not lucky and not organized. I'm sorry, that's a little bit on Stankovic as well. This was not a pretty game to watch, though.
It was even on the last game, on the Serie A YouTube website, they'll show like at least a minute before, and you saw that was just mental mistakes, Sampdoria, and just giving away the ball cheaply, and just Cremonese capitalizing on those chances, right?
Cremonese is hungry to get some wins to try to get out of that bottom basement position, but Sampdoria just doesn't really look good in anything that they do. They can't keep a lead. They're getting carded. Last week, it was a card at the worst possible time. This week, it's a 90-something minute goal. Just doesn't look good for the Genoese.
Roma, like you're saying, they're 1 goal. In the end, people, what are they going to remember? The 3 points at the end of the game against the Torino just sucked. I was trying to watch this game, and I was falling asleep, and I was expecting some sort of maybe excitement, but that's just me expecting a bit too much.
Tough week for Serie A. Tough week to sell Serie A this week. Not too much excitement in this one either.
Yeah.
Penalty shot goal gives Roma the 3 points, and Torino really didn't do much. I think the most the most exciting and funniest thing was the banner from the Torino faithful to Belotti. We can't even insult you because you don't even play.
Verona beating Sassuolo 2-1, and Lazio Juve, the last game of the week, and at least we had a bit of excitement in this one here, Steve. I will say one thing. I was watching and I liked the first 2 goals that all of a sudden, and I'm like, no, please. I like that the ref didn't, what am I going to go watch? No, it's done, like, from Alessandro. Steve, did you see that? That was a hell of a... And one guy at your showers this morning. But no, he pushed him. I looked at him. I'm like, okay, listen to me very carefully. Please rewatch that highlight. But Alessandro's dive. And then they reviewed the... I liked at least that. But Lazio tweeting out all the missed calls and the handballs. But in the end, Steve, Lazio beats the high teams. And deservingly being in second spot right now. Right.
Yeah, I think Sarri's done really well year 2 with Lazio. I think this one was a little bit more special for him because he's beating Juve. Juve again. Juve doesn't look good, guys. I just keep on telling these guys, and I see, you know, they're gonna get the, if they get their 15 points
they're
back.
Not,
you know,
they're not.
Ferrat thinks that they are gonna get their 15 points back, and yes, it will make it much more complicated for Milan and Inter to try to squeeze into that top four. But guys, they don't look good, and I think Lazio really play some nice football. If you know, unfortunately, their fans are racist as ever. But if you would have to sell a Serie A, you're showing highlights of Napoli and Lazio, and not many other teams. Let's face it, including our Milan, about the style of play and how we're playing football. Lazio and Napoli are the most impressive. Seeing Juve get back their points, that's going to be just a shame and a disaster for the league and a PR nightmare. But hey, 15 years back in the Stone Ages. Well, let's give them back the 15 points. If Serie A is scared of Juventus, as usual, give it back and let's see what the two teams are battling for top four.
The best when I was in the States, Steve, my Uncle Joe, 80 years old, you know, he's a bit into the technology, Netflix, whatever, and I showed him Bad Sports, the episode about Juve. And as he's watching it, he looks at me, he's like, you know, completely American. Is this all real right now? Is this like confirmed? I'm like, yeah, Uncle Joe. They did some really bad things there, Juve. Yes, they did. And it was great to rewatch it at because it's been a while. But looking at these standings, Steve, you know, 52, 51, Atalanta 48. Yes, Juventus is there. Lazio, there's been a lot more Dr. Jekyll than Mr. Hyde, but you never know with Lazio. They could probably fumble the ball in the last couple of games, but it's beginning to stress a little bit. And I know we've said this many times, no mistakes allowed. Now we really need it. We cannot have any mistakes whatsoever. That Roma game is going to be a big one, right?
Yeah, that Roma game is going to be a big one. The Lazio game is going to be a big one, and so is the Juve one. So they're all going to be big games. If you would give me the opportunity to pay to have the season end right now, I would be very comfortable in taking that fourth spot right now.
Before we get into busted tweets, Steve, another indigestion sports media set. It's okay. Cardinale San Siro vincono sempre. Like he has, Steve, a track record of being at the stadium like 37 times. He's been, and then they're giving three games. Three games. He was there and they won all three times. And they're making it seem El Joello is our free. And by the way, stay healthy, stay good, Silvio Berlusconi. People can make fun of him all they want. He was still our president, and nobody wants to wish death upon somebody. I hope he recovers soon, Sir Presidente. But do you have any indigestions or any brioches this week, especially after this week that we went
through? My indigestion is with Pioli. I think he underestimated this Empoli match, didn't read the momentum meter correctly. And I think he kind of put a little dent in the fan base's parade for this Wednesday's Napoli clash. My brioche of the week is the Napoli clash on Wednesday. I think it's a good opportunity for Serie A to showcase two teams, you know, one with the legacy and the history of Milan and one that's doing some really good things in Serie A this year. That would be my brioche. I hope that they can put on a performance that you know, will even turn the English commentators, because the English commentator is going to have the hardest job on Wednesday. They're actually going to have to say something good about an Italian team because there's two Italian teams.
We will be you know, Wednesday will be coast to coast at nighttime, so that should be a nice podcast. Wednesday morning, we will have the group therapy before I did take the day off. Stevie P, on this, before we head into busted tweets, anything else to mention? Or are you ready to close off with a
busted
little
Busted Calcio tweets. Let's go.
You know what? Thank you to Jan. I know you guys haven't seen Jan in a very long time. Steve, now he's almost like the president of the Prime Minister of Canada, right?
Let's go with the busted couch of tweets. You use that joke every week.
I like it. Door number one. Unpopular opinion. Rashford right now is better than any version of Thierry Henry. Any version of Thierry. 3.3 million views, Steve. 3,054 likes.
I think people liked it just so that they can remember to make fun of it. And this gentleman here has never watched Henry play at his prime, especially the Arsenal Henry. Again, I know sometimes we get caught up in YouTube highlights of people, but you want to see some class and a world class, have a look-see at Thierry Henry, especially with Arsenal and his partnership with Bergkamp. That was something, you know, even wow. Someone that myself, I'm not a big fan of the EPL. I watch it because I'm a junkie, but that was some really fun football to watch.
Especially with Bergkamp. Those remind me of all these great highlights we used to watch. So, yeah, this one from Atsanai. Next, what do we have? I don't think there's more than two left wings in the world football that swap Grealish for. What? Goals, one, assists, one. So, basically saying that there's no two left wingers in this world that he'd swap Grealish for. So Grealish is top of the line.
He doesn't think there's more than two left wingers.
I'd swap. So he's basically saying you wouldn't even swap two of the best in the world to get for Grealish?
You're having trouble reading tonight. There's not more than two left wingers that he would change for. So he thinks there's one.
He's top three in the world.
Two, and then there's Grealish.
740,000 views on this one. This is the magic of the EPL, Steve.
This is the magic of stupidity. And this is the magic of people just loving to look at absolutely stupid shit all the time.
Slide number three. Curva Sud, the first level, will be closed against Napoli. Another exemplary punishment for Juve. And once again, only for Juve. Thousands of well-behaved fans pay for the stupidity of others. More and more disgusted by the unequal treatment in this polluted cultural environment. This is around Turin. So they're the victims, Steve. They're the victims, Torino, because of some racist chants. And tell me about our problems in Serie A, Steve.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because this is, you know, it's something that shouldn't happen. It's something that, you know, it is some bad apples. They're not all bad. But unfortunately, once it's done and once the punishment comes down, this is when you need to take a hard look at yourself before you post something else. And it's difficult. And saying, will this help my situation or will make it worse? A tweet like this is busted because it just makes it even worse. It's okay that one person did that. And, you know, we should not get punished. Only he should get punished. And it's the snowflake effect, right? The accountability is to the club. And you punish the club by hitting their wallet and pissing off their fans. And that's the punishment that Serie A went with. I think it should be a culture thing, not only a punishment thing. But this tweet is busted because it's, again, like you said, they want to be the victim.
Maybe around Turin that doesn't remember that one guy, maybe 20 years ago, tried to put a bomb in his sneaker. And now all of us pay for it when we travel because we got to take off our shoes. So, yes, this is the way the world works. What do we have after this? At Davide, the whole of Calcio Twitter stops their Saturdays to watch Juventus. Go out, be with your significant others, do something. All bickering against each other, but suck each other off against Juve. Lazio celebrating like they won the Champions League. It truly is Juve versus Italy.
Steve.
I'm assuming you had a nice day planned with the family, with your wife and kids, and you told
me this guy really made me emotional. David, you really touched my heart on this one, man.
Stop.
You really touched my heart, man. It's Juve against the world. Not Juve against Italy. It's Juve against the world, David.
So you had a nice...
Speak to me, brother.
You had a nice day planned out.
Nothing else fucking better to do.
With your family, but you decided you canceled all the plans, no?
To watch fucking Lazio Juve, you dumb fucking fuck. I'm going to even say it. You're another baby, Juventism. We don't care. They don't care. No one cares about Juve. The only people that care about Juve are Juventine. That's all. And because you guys, again, are so narcissistic and you think that everybody cares about what you do, no. We watched you get destroyed by Lazio. Yeah, it's funny. It is funny. Because in the end, no one really cares, David. But this emotional speech is the winner, guys.
This one,
David needs to be crowned champion. Let's give them back something, guys.
What do you want to give?
Serie A, you know, this is me on a soapbox. Serie A, you know, David. We're gonna send Serie A this guy's tweet. I'm gonna take a screenshot of it and tag Serie A and make sure that they see it. Because after this tweet, Vinny, they should get back their 15 points. It's okay that they caused the tax fraud. It's okay that they bend the rules. It's Juve against Italy.
You know what? The more you think the more you say it, Steve, I think I want them to get him back. Because who's going to hear them in the summer? If we had our 15 points back, we would have been over here. And if we would have had this and the... Juventinitis, Liban Youssef is calling it Juventusism, Fujis and Funyan. Did he give us another one? Because this one's a winner for me. Yeah, no, it's just this is the...
And imagine, this guy here, he got me so emotional when you read this out, that it even trumps Rashford is greater than Henry. That's the one that it really trumps, because there was only two. The other ones
this
were
is,
kind
yeah,
of
this,
like...
This is
eh,
bad.
Eh. Eh, whatever.
But yeah, no. Steve, would you like to read it in your emotional Juventini voice?
Yeah. The whole of Calcio Twitter stops their Saturdays to watch Juventus. Go out. Be with your families. Significant others, do something. All bickering against each other. But suck each other off, very classy, against Juve. Lazio celebrating like they won the Champions League. It is truly Juve versus Italy, man. Juve versus Italy, man. Peace out, David. You hear the busted Calcio tweet winner, my friend.
You definitely are. Present the clip, this one out for social media so we can rile up some people in the Twitterverse. Steve, thank you. Thank you very much for that. Guys, it is what it is. It was the week that was. And please, let's get together this Wednesday, wherever you are around the world, right? Get with your local clubs. Support the team. No matter what the result is. You know, we're not here telling you that we're going to beat Napoli. We're not here telling you we're going to be in the finals with Carletto. We're not here telling you that Empoli result doesn't matter if we win against Napoli. Every second, every single second, every game will count. Please stay tuned. And Steve, where's our little, where is it? Here we go. What do people need to do to make sure that they know what's going on
guys,
this channel?
You need to subscribe to Milan Weekly Podcast. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. Turn on that little bell and get your notification, guys, so that after you know when anything and any content comes out from Milan Weekly Podcast. Guys, don't forget to check out Fabio and Gio on Wednesday. They'll really have a rocking show, especially after the Champions League result. Whether we win or lose, Whatever the result, I'm pretty sure they're going to bring that energy. Thursday, we have a local soccer show, so I'll be on with our guest on Thursday, checking that. We're getting some, you know, we're getting some people, Vinny, that they, I was told today, they're scouring the internet to see who likes the local soccer show podcast that we do every two Thursdays.
Oh, and happy early birthday to you, Nick. So scouring the internet this season.
They're scouring, they're checking, they're stalking us out on the local soccer show just to see who is liking that type of podcast. Because it seems like we're scratching and we're ruffling a bit of feathers with that podcast.
Ooh, I like it. I like it. Maybe you'll give me some more details behind the scenes. And speaking of Gio had no questions. He said, keep up the great work. Please like and subscribe. Gio, you are part of the channel. It's okay. Everybody's there to support you as well. No question. Just this team knows how to ruin a Good Friday. And the funny part is that Gio reminded us on Friday that we cannot eat meat. And Fabio just said, don't worry, guys. I'm sinning for every single one of us in the group. So thank you, Fabio, for taking over the sinning for all of Milan Weekly Podcast. And not for Presidente, because Presidente doesn't sin, right, Steve? He did not eat meat the Wednesday on the Friday. Just make sure that, you know,
he's all in of that.
On that note, guys, let's get this Champions League win. We'll see each other very soon this week, Saturday, 9 a.m., Bologna. But before that, we got Champions League, and I don't care if Osimhen is there or not. Give him to me. Let's go beat the best Napoli can give us. On that note, ovunque, e sempre.
Forza Milan! The Champions! Italia!